Good afternoon. It's 4:25. We're going to open up the House Special Committee on Budget, the Subcommittee on General Government, Transportation, and Economic Development. We're going to open up a work session on House Bill 3462 relating to the Jobs Plus program. Good afternoon, Monica.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the Subcommittee. Before you, House Bill 3462, there's a set of Dash 4 amendments for your consideration. As you may recall from the work that you did on the Employment Department's budget earlier, we had anticipated that there would not be additional funding available for this program, so we phased out about 20 positions in the Employment Department's budget. The Dash 4s would create a funding mechanism. It creates a diversion of 0.04% of the taxable wages from the trust fund to the Jobs Plus Wage Unemployment Wage Fund for the Jobs Plus program. Those diversions would happen in the first quarter of 2006, 7, 8, and 9. Estimated total about $17.7 million coming in. Probably the first 47 pages are largely tax scheduled adjustments to cover what I just described. The program changes that are before you in these amendments would modify the program so that individuals that would be eligible to participate would be those that have received no more than 13 weeks under their current UI claim and have earned less than $15 per hour in their last employment opportunity. They would be eligible to participate for up to 13 weeks. There's a possibility of an exemption if the individual is a veteran or a spouse of a veteran. They could be eligible for an additional 13 weeks under this program. Let's see what else we have here. It modifies what the employer requirements would be. The employer would now be required to submit to Employment Department a job description outlining the training components that they would actually receive, and they would also be required to provide unsubsidized employment once the 13 weeks lapsed. They would be required to match it with an additional 13 weeks of unsubsidized employment. It also modifies the individual education account program that is currently going on. There is $1 per hour that the individual works is contributed to an individual education account. Those individuals were allowed to use those monies for up to 5 years in an educational and training opportunity. This modifies that to say any new participants would have 3 years rather than 5 years to earn that money or use that money. It would transfer the responsibility for monitoring the account to the Student Assistance Commission. Currently, DHS holds that account, and when an individual makes application or notice that they want to begin using it for a training opportunity, at that point, DHS transfers the money to OSAC. This would just put the account in under the supervision of OSAC directly. Further, it establishes a secondary account. It's, the current account has both the DHS Jobs Plus clients in it as well as the unemployment insurance clients. There would be a second account established to separate those client bases. So the existing folks in Jobs Plus would remain in the current account, new account for Jobs Plus Unemployment Program Stability and Education Fund. The change there is the $1 would continue to go into the account. If the program lapses, if they haven't used the money within 3 years, this changes where that money is transferred. Currently, any unused money is transferred to opportunity grants. This bill modifies that and says for the DHS clients, any excess money would transfer to DHS and continuously appropriated for the Jobs Plus program. If it was a UI client, it would transfer to the Employment Department to go into the Stability Fund for Jobs Plus for UI clients. There is also a provision in here that says as of January 1, 2006, any monies that are available for appropriation in excess of $1 million will transfer to the Unemployment Wage Fund to service cash flow for the Jobs Plus program. At this point, we are anticipating that that will not be much in the way of money, but it is there as a provision.
Can you explain on page 48 line 19. They use the term, however, the employer may terminate the employee for good cause. Does that take away the at-will provision that an employer would currently enjoy?
I'm not sure, Mr. Chair, and I don't have the staff attorney in there.
What page are you on? I'm sorry.
On page 48, it is line 19 and 20.
48, 19, and 20.
Do you think there would be a problem with an amendment on that?
What we could do, we're going to have several conceptual amendments. And actually, we have the agency just walking in now if she wants to come up and talk about page 48, Ms. Brickman, the provision on the at-will versus good cause.
Yes.
Welcome. We're putting you on the spot as you walk through the door.
That's okay.
Welcome. If you could just introduce yourself for the record.
For the record, Chair Smith, members of the committee, or member of the committee. For the record, my name is Tamara Brickman. I'm the legislative coordinator from the Oregon Employment Department. And which set of amendments are we talking about?
Dashboards.
Okay. That's right. Okay, the Dash 4 amendments, page 48. I'm assuming you're talking about lines 16 through 20. Okay. This came out of a request from Representative Kitts to Legislative Council to deal with the issue of not allowing employers to continually recycle people through a jobs plus job just for the subsidy purpose. And so he was trying to come up with a means to incent employers to continue to keep these individuals on for an equal amount of time. The time that when I was in the meeting with him, the discussion was having them keep the employees on for an amount of time that would be equal to what they had done in the jobs plus job. When I went down and was working with Legislative Council on that, Legislative Council was concerned that just saying they had to keep them for a certain period of time would not allow them any reason to discharge the employee. So they built in the for cause, which allows them to get rid of the employee for cause, and cause has a number of different explanations, I guess. One of them being poor performance would be something that could be dischargeable for cause. So this was a provision that came at a request of another legislator.
What would be the impact if we just struck out good cause? If we just said cause, or struck out the word good and just put cause?
Chair Smith, I do not know if the full term good cause is an actual term of art for employment law purposes.
Okay. I am not legislative counsel, nor am I trying to act like one, but after 15 years of employment and labor law, maybe I can add something.
I think you bring us some experience.
although, if I were to do a conceptual amendment, I would change the may to a must, since I personally would be in favor of needing good cause to take away somebody's job or salary. But I think what you're going at, Mr. Chair, is does the may bind the later term good cause? I think instead of amending, we could give a clear legislative intent on the record that may terminate the employee for good cause simply means that that's one of the methods by which you could terminate somebody, but not the exclusive method, and that the doctrine of at-will employment still stays in effect with regard to this bill.
Thank you for sharing that thought. That would reflect the chair's thoughts on that issue, and you stated it much more eloquently than I ever could have. Thank you. And I interrupted you.
Well, he makes the big bucks.
That's right.
Was that right? I you didn't interrupt me. I was done.
Oh, okay. We have the honor of having the majority whip with us, and Representative Kitts, would you like to come on up as well? No, please stay. Please stay.
It's okay. He won't hurt you. His bark is much bigger than his bite.
I feel like I've seen the devil himself.
I'd be more concerned about Representative Kitts in that fight than I would Ms. Brickman.
She can hold her own, I bet.
I would concur with those amendments.
For the record, I'm Derek Pitts, I'm the state representative from House District 30, Hillsborough. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you for hearing this bill today. While it's my understanding the Employment Department is not going to testify in favor of this bill, I'm fine with that. They have been wonderful to work with, and I think we've worked for months on end to try and develop something that was going to be mutually palatable. I don't think that we got there. I don't think that we're too far apart, but just we just couldn't get the buy-off to say, yes, go ahead, this is great, we all love it. But that being said, that's part of this process, and that was standing. They were wonderful to work with, provided information, anything that I requested. So I would just like to, for the record, thank them for their help in helping me craft a bill, amendments that they don't support.
Is so. There an advisory committee that oversees Jobs Plus, Chairman?
Chair Smith, members of the committee, there is. There's a there's two advisory committees that deal with the Employment Department. There's an advisory council for the Jobs Plus program that is a dual agency advisory council. As you know, there are two Jobs Plus programs, one in DHS and one with the Employment Department. And then we also have an Employment Department Advisory Council that advises the Employment Department as a whole and their governor appointees.
And business owners on that?
Yes, it's an equal representation of management, labor, and the public, an at-large. There's 12 members, four labor, four business, and four at-large.
Small business represented on there?
We currently have two vacancies as of the moment.
Small business owner right next to you.
There you go.
Oh, well, you have to pass muster from the governor to get appointed.
If I'm going to pass muster from the governor, I might be in trouble.
Yes, but I, at this point, I'm not sure that small business is represented on there. But we have had small business representation.
Okay.
We're currently looking for members, by the way.
I'm good with it, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, there are several conceptual amendments that LFO is recommending that you make to these, and I apologize to Representative Kitts for not being able to loop back with him today, but I don't believe any of them will cause him distress since there are a couple of blanks in this we need to fill in. Some issues that came up, the bill, as I mentioned earlier, transfers or it doesn't explicitly transfer the individual education account to the Student Assistance Commission. So in discussions with legislative council, it put the account under their administration. So we're suggesting that we just add some clarifying language that says the account shall actually transfer to the commission, and then they will administer it. So we thought that that would be more clear and give them a date certain on doing that.
Do you need a motion on that?
Let me know if you have questions on any of those. So that's just clarifying that says you shall get the account and then we'll be able to administer it. Clarifying language to sections 2 and 3, sections already provide that the DHS clients that are already in the program retain their five-year eligibility on the funding, but it doesn't seem to speak to the current unemployment insurance claimants on whether they get to be able to retain their five-year eligibility. So we're proposing that there be clarifying language to say to those that were already promised the 5 years, they still get that promise. And I don't believe that that is in conflict with the intent, so just some clarifying. Again, additional clarifying language to Section 6, to say Section 6, which is the new account in for the employment component, that it is effective to the new claimants on the effective date of this bill. So, again, just clarifying things that could have been ambiguous in moving the monies around. Now to filling in the blanks and to the fiscal, Mr. Chair. Section 7 provides that the Employment Department may borrow funds from the Supplemental Employment Department Administrative Fund. As I mentioned, the revenue function of this is a diversion out of the first quarterly payments So the first cash flow new infusion won't occur until about April of next year. So to begin this program 91 days after Sine Die, there's a gap of a few months. So this is allowing them to borrow money from CDEF and then pay it back. The proposal is to fill the blank in on page 52, line 3, with $3 million. They may borrow up to $3 million for cash flow and then pay it all back once the diversion comes in.
Okay.
No questions? Okay. Keep moving on. And page 52, and as I mentioned earlier, since we removed the funding as well as the expenditure limitation from the Employment Department, assuming the function did not move forward, proposing to give them some limitation and position authorization back. So that proposal is 19 positions, 15.77 FTE, starting November 1, and that, along with the payments that are anticipated to the employers, $6,945,045 in other funds would fill in on line 18 of page 52. And the other component, given all of the new responsibility going to the Student Assistance Commission, a quarter-time accounting technician increasing a part-time position that they currently have to allow them to do the billing and the invoicing and the tracking and the accounting. So that is a new section that will need to be added. Proposing 30,000 other funds and the 0.25 FTE, the bill provides that the interest earnings on those accounts can be used for administration, so the other funds will come from that interest earnings on these accounts.
Mr. Chairman, I move the conceptual amendments to the Dash 4 amendments. Okay. House Bill 3462.
Representative Krupp moves the conceptual amendments to the proposed amendments, the Dash 4s, for House Bill 3462. Any discussion? Any opposition? Say none, so approved.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Dash 4 amendments as amended conceptually to House Bill 3462.
Okay. Representative Krupp moves the Dash 4 amendments as amended into House Bill 3462. Any discussion? Any opposition? Seeing none, so approved.
Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 3462 as amended with the Dash 4 amendments conceptually to the full House Budget Committee.
Okay, Representative Krupp moves House Bill 3462 as amended to the House Special Committee on Budget. Any discussion? Representative Avakian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do want to say something that will be critical of the bill, but before I do that, I do want to recognize Representative Kitts and others that have worked on this bill that I think have been quite thoughtful in their approach and put in a lot of hours to put together probably the best package that I think could have been put together. My concern is that this, I think, joins an onslaught of bills from last session and this session which blur the line between public entities and private enterprises, that we have facing us here a situation where we're going to take public money and we're going to invest it in a private company to provide virtually the same services that are already being provided by another government entity. And I have a continuing concern that we are failing to recognize the role of government in society to provide certain guarantees to the people, as opposed to private enterprises which exist both to create a profit, to create jobs, to be, in essence, a risky venture in a free enterprise system. And that's a good thing. It's what makes free enterprise work. But the mixing of the two dilutes the purpose of both. And I see this bill as adding to the blurring of that line. And for that reason alone, I'll be a no vote.
And I'd like to add, Chair Kitts, you're definitely displaying the significant influence you have on this process. I have to tell you, probably 9 hours ago, if I would have been asked on House Bill 3462, I would have said this bill is done. It's dead. But this definitely shows the the leadership and the influence you have in this building and your ability to take a bill that otherwise was not going to move forward and to move it forward, and I think you're to be commended for that. I have tremendous concerns with House Bill 3462. As this proceeds forward, I want to make sure that small business plays a role in its implementation. As all of you know, that's my soapbox. It'll continue to be my soapbox, and I hope that small business will play an intricate part of House Bill 3462. With that said, any opposition? Representative Babakian? No other. It is passed. And Representative Krupp, will you carry this in to the full House Special Committee, and Representative Kitz Beek?
I'd be pleased to carry it, Mr.
As long as Representative Kitz doesn't.
Will you carry this on the floor for us, Representative Kitz?
More than happy to. And Mr. Chair, if I could just say one thing for the record. I would like to thank Representative Scott, as I just talked to him on the floor. And I said, what's going on with Jobs Plus? He says, what are you talking about? I said, Smith didn't meet at 1:30. Your budget committee didn't meet at 4:30. What's going on? He says, well, if you knew anything, you'd know that they're meeting right now. So I would just like to apologize to for my brashness and obvious immaturity that not look at my TV before approaching the majority leader in such a way. So I've been slapped down, but I'm happy with that. So thank you to the committee, and I acknowledge Representative Lofton's concern.
I have been humbled many, many times in this building.
Thank
Welcome
you.
To the doghouse.
It is especially gratifying, Mr. Chairman, to see Representative Kitz humbled.
Seeing no other business before the subcommittee today, we are adjourned.